I'm not getting out of table, you know.
Rockstar.
Too much speed.
You should calm down. Breathe in, then out. Remember to stay positive all around. Don't you pout. Come on, you don't really need that medication. Just breathe in, breathe out. An empty automaton with a constant buzz in my ear. Obsessive anxious thoughts are all I hear. I'm too tired to talk. I'm okay, I'll smile. I laugh, I look happy. I can function for a while. Just breathe in, breathe out. Empty ideation. But I'm an old, wound-up Betamax tape. No one can see the fading contents inside. The rules and constraints by which I must abide. I think to myself, I'm becoming unspooled. Just breathe in, breathe out. Waning affect. My heart is sticking. One wrong word and it goes. Racing my lungs for no rational reason, and I can't breathe with the weight of impending doom on my chest. I can't wait to leave, alone in my room so I can cry and rest. Just breathe in, breathe out, solitude. When I muster and sprout some courage, like an ambiguous sea serpent, your skepticism begins to surface. I don't need your invalidation of advice, is now spewing from your orifice. And yes, you have an academic grasp of this illness, which can't prescribe health or even bear witness. Just breathe in, breathe out, swallow. And people are so surprised when someone dies of suicide. For a day or two, mental health is deified. Listen beyond the buzz to those afflicted. Just breathe in, breathe out, hide. Like the rotting floorboards in an old house, I function and barely hold it together. Your advice and disbelief won't help me through the stormy weather. Breathe in, breathe out. The buzzing, the paranoia, the doubt. The fuzzing of memory, the mental cloud. My mind is the iron curtain, isolated, but still yearning to open. I hold my breath.
She folds the crimson glow of copper, like viscous drops of heart blood, illumined in rainbow flames, a diadem of colors swirling. She stirs the luminous wind, reflecting the universe expand, refracted to celestial scents, and she conducts the breath of the spirit from the silky depth of your eyes. Then she blends with oaken staff, like honey syrup flowing, your blue of earth, her light of soul, the amber glistening of brass, like tears of heaven glowing. At last she melds with magic style, in purest alchemy, a drop of fire from thirsty lips, her heart of gold, your voice of light, to sing a melody of life. Unites the elements of dark and light to perfect harmony. Stan's allowed me to. Thank you, Stan. This is called We Are Receivers. Staring into the night, eyes fixed hard on the bridge and the dim light, until the mind cannot understand the image any longer. Repeating a word, repeat, repeat, so often that to the ear it loses its meaning, becoming a mantra of higher consciousness. chanting the Om until we rise from lightless night, benighted mind filling until it glow with the potential that is the eternal light. Seeing the ocean of love and the breath halts, the heart spreads its wings and the tongue knows no words. We are receivers of a brighter light than our eye can ever see, nor our mind can ever conceive, but our hearts can feel. Quiet I stand in the stillness of the divine, the brightness of love, the silence of all.
Thanks, so Jack Shortland.
Her surname is a clue, right?
Yeah.
didn't realize we were coming
right. Okay. I'm writing at the moment a lot about my work, my life's work, which I've retired from recently. And so I worked with intellectually disabled people. Most of the time, that's what I was doing, around for years and years. So this is mental handicap care in the 1970s. It's a pantoum, so bear with me. If you wanted to work with the handicapped children, you were advised not to get too attached. You were not supposed to take them in your arms. You didn't encourage them to talk nonsense. You were warned not to get too attached. You tried to train them to stop rocking their bodies. You didn't encourage murmuring or babbling. You were expected to get them to eat every morsel of their dinner. You tried to train them to stop rocking and hugging themselves. Letting them run about made them hyper. You were expected to spoon every morsel of dinner down them. If they latched onto you, you had to say, fold your arms. Letting them dance around made them hyper. You took no notice of their whining. They're looking for attention. If they latched onto you, you had to reject them, fold your arms. These rules were for their own good. You took no notice of the whining. They're looking for attention. You were not supposed to take them in your arms. This rule was for your own good, if you wanted to be allowed to work with handicapped children.
We often hear about the lack of progress, but actually it's nice to be reminded that there is progress in some ways as well. That was great, thank you.
And we are, yeah, that's what we mean.
First name is definitely Nelly, anyway. Second name is Azopad.
When we were little, when the floor was lava and Mama's arm saved heaven, riding bicycles without hands, running around half naked, they used to say we were wild puppies feeding ourselves of fresh air and laughter. But we were hungry, and more than for food in our bellies, we were hungry for affection. We were starving for attention. Look at me, but the adults were too busy. We grew up, the top of the towers were the limit of a sky we couldn't see. Broken hearts and blackened dreams, they used to say we were mad dogs, running scared toward adulthood, losing along the way the brothers and the sisters, because ropes and blades know no gender, in too much rush to stop and help, too afraid to lose ourselves, we were craving stability. But the adults were too broken to see that the sins of the fathers and the mistakes of the mothers had brought us to our knees breathless, just alive enough to remember that time when we were invisible, the time we were invincible when we were children.
So much, and at least first time at Ovay. I've gained you on the open mic, rather powerful. Make sure you come back. We'd like to hear more of that. Patricia Walsh is next.
Sorry, I don't know how many of you are fans of the Buzzcocks.
Yay! Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's Pete Shelley, the lead singer, he died there a few months ago. He had a song saying, "Ever fall in love with something you shouldn't have." So this is for everybody who's fallen in love with something they shouldn't have.
Put your hands up.
It's called A Little Head. The atmosphere was past, present, and future. It was tense, knowing what would happen next. Forcibly swallowing constructs and some genius. Academic abandonment solving a crisis. Hard disillusionment extending to showtime. Ample grounds for divorce, but you call your wife. Why not let the poetry read and swing to the rhythm? Man in such a home is hostile to much to ask. Residual intelligence wasted on some style. Tea-based life forms congregate on a ginge. A truncated lifespan, lifetime of abuse, conspiring to laser tattoo our extremities. Sacred as now, being utterly insane. No context for grief, a friend indeed. Terminology a fast one, criminally pure. Dead new and sword, busily conspiring against the modern world, satanic as it may be. Contributing nothing to the universe at large. Our closest at home, lost in the storm, laughing at disability. That itself sinks the ship. Catching your death, not abusing any life forms, beyond my own, leading to satisfaction, walking where required, on a borrowed ride. Having come to sense, joking on a common state, blowing hot and cold in an unwanted strategy. Thank you.
Thanks, Trish. Always lovely to have music-inspired poetry. For those of you who are too young, check out the Buzzcocks on the your Spotify accounts. Jeez, you need to go and buy records. Lucky, lucky bars. Cedric is next. Cedric. Paranoid about the microphone. Sweet
coffee. Balance. This was not the conclusion they would have wished for. This was a grim end by contrast with the original scheme. They had wanted power, riches, debauchery, all that life had to offer. And for that goal, they signed a bond, their soul at stake, for everything else to abound. They expected and waited, hoped even for some of the world to go to waste, with clear hearts and sinister consciousness, they prayed for the end. That prayer was a convenient covenant, a bargain to yield no bear gain. Those five men and women accepted themselves as the hand of evil, removed from the world that they would soon rule. Once out of the bunker they were about to enter. A bunker and a pact with the devil, while hellfire would ravage the earth. Concrete plan. This is not what was found after the aborted end. In the closed premises, the humanity of outside discovered the aftermath of fulfilled promises. Powers rose and waned. Riches were consumed. As for debauchery, nothing would be told. Except maybe for that lifeless body cradling a laughing baby with missing left fingers. They had meant the world to one another, being each other's insanity. They accepted to be the hand of evil, all five of them, and the devil became the pawn to the face of this party.
Bring that back for the Halloween theme, man. Jesus! It's really cold in the middle of that, isn't it? But just me. It's a lovely, lovely Italian lady on the back there, and she's going to come to reach us now.
It was summer, and my friends were traveling, and I was traveling, and we all smelled like coffee and sweat, and the fat orange cat slept on the hot orange floor as the mountain seriously spoke. There are two types of people in the world. Those who break the nice little cups, and those who worry about the broken pieces. And I was 19, and looking for cups to break. And 1, 2, and 3 years later, broke a whole lot of them, all my own, and stared at the broken pieces in my hand, and tried to stick them back in rooms with plants and paintings and strangers who believed that I could put them together if only I could feel grounded and rearrange the cupboards. But really, all I wanted was accept my breaking of the cups, especially my own, and do it properly and whenever necessary, Italian fighting the kitchen style. And really, the nice little cups of the self are infinite in number, and really, the nice little feel of the self don't hurt if you learn to walk on the pieces. So break your cups, and break my cups, break your mom's and break your town's, rattle the cupboards, tilt the cups and let them spill. Give your heart to the floor of the world. Give your heart to the hawks and the vultures.
Oh yeah, now I was going to ask who breaks cups and who picks them up, you know, but obviously everyone should just break cups, so let's just get fucking on with it. Get it over and done with, as they say. Who's next? Oh, how could I forget that Jim is next? Thank you. I think I'm going to have to adjust the microphone. It's pretty clear to work.
Perfect.
I heard that.
So this poem is called This Week's Hot Political Gossip. America is in bed with Russia, and China is none the wiser. America dismissed all claims as fake news in an interview, but photos have leaked of orange fake tan streaks all over Russia's bedsheets.
Jesus.
Thank you. Mongolia says it heard a distinctly obnoxious voice in the boudoir. Russia explained in a press release that it was eating Doritos in bed whilst watching a heterosexual romantic comedy starring Tom Hanks. Stand by for updates. In other news, Ireland has announced that it is gay and proud. You go, girl. Shake off those Catholic shackles and play the field. Some trusted sources say that Germany has the hots for you. And everybody knows the Netherlands is bisexual. Republic of Ireland has been single since 1916. It's about time the Emerald Isle started moving on from that ungodly 800-year marriage. This is a little bit down. Okay, so... Well, we're just delighted for Ireland, said John, 36, who lives with his family in emergency accommodation. It's a little Waterford Whispers. I hope Ireland gets a nice boyfriend, says Mary, 72, who's waiting on a hospital trolley for treatment.
Oh,
I know it's a bit harsh. Stand by for updates. Although Northern Ireland still has some partial feelings for England,
The rest of Europe is not on speaking terms with the Queen's country. England recently turned the music off at a party with Europe and told everyone loudly that it was going to leave. When Europe opened the front door and said goodbye to England, they refused to leave without someone paying for their limousine. The room stayed silent. England asked if anyone wanted to come with. But nobody wants to go with you, England. Nobody wants to go. Stand by for updates.
You could consider sending that to Water Whisper Moves, like, to be honest with you. And I tell you, no, I'm going dead straight. Don't even think about taking those lines out that you're going on a bit. They were definitely well to leave in there, okay? Sandra Bees? Look how keen she is, huh?
I had two poems I was trying to decide between, and one is an elegy for my grandmother, and I am not going to read an elegy for my grandmother after that. I'm going to clarify. I'm also just going to mention that I see this around. There was an unexpected cancellation by the U.S. poet who was supposed to teach the other festival coming up, which is the Lifelong Learning Festival. So I agreed to take over. So if you know anybody who would be interested, I had to use his seminar, which had already been advertised as three poems for people who really dislike poetry. We'll be discussing it at Mouse Cafe next Monday at 7, so not interfering with the veil at all. But that's the Cork Lifelong Learning Festival, and I don't know if it's advertised to this community or not. I figure,
yeah,
everyone in the room probably likes poetry, but you probably know a lot of people who don't like poetry, so send them my way. All right, this your mom? Yeah. My mom's not sure she likes it either. Okay, short poem. I was talking with Stu Blue about the Sound Arts Festival that took place this past weekend, and we were mentioning the Dadaist or the Fluxus presence. This is a poem that was written after listening to tremendous amounts of music by Erik Satie, who was associated with the Dadaists. It's in the voice of a piano, not just any piano, but maybe a piano that had been kind of abandoned or fallen into disuse, and then one day has someone play it again, and not just anyone, but someone with the light touch of Erik Satie. The piano speaks after Erik Satie. For an hour, I forgot my fat self, my neurotic innards, my addiction to alignment. For an hour, I forgot my fear of rain. For an hour, I was a salamander shimmying through the kelp in search of shore, and under his fingers, the notes slid loose from my belly in a long jelly rope of eggs that took root in the mud. And what would hatch, I did not know. A lie, a waltz, an apostle of glass. For an hour, I stood on two legs and ran. For an hour, I panted and galloped. For an hour, I was a maple tree. And under the summer of his fingers, the notes seeded and winged away in the clutch of small, elegant helicopters.
Thanks, Sandra. I bring back the other poem for the Halloween night as well. It's filling up nicely now, the Halloween night.
My piano costume is shaping up.
Booked out before we know it. Kira.
So last weekend I did a workshop with Broken Talkers, or a theatre group from Dublin, on TDC. And as part of the workshop, we had to make like a group piece at the end of it, and we were all kind of tasked with different contributions to the piece. And the piece was basically set in a land where there's no birth and there's no death, and the only thing that grows is a bonsai tree. worshipped because it grows. And this is like a lyrical contribution that I made to the piece. And it takes its kind of start from, you know, the song, "This Land Is Your Land." It's very interesting because it's an American folk song originally, but Celtic fans sing it about Scotland. And it's in America it's kind of like a manifest destiny type of song, but like it has a totally different connotation when Celtic fans sing it. About the liberation of Catholics in the West of Scotland. Anyways. That's where anyway, it's not as political as that. This is a fictional place. But anyway, this is what this is the contribution. We have persevered to persevere, and we have arrived here. Our movements shaped by need. All that we've achieved was fueled by fear. But now we're here. Now we're here. Gathered cockles and muscles, built boats to bring us over wave and wash, with no mention of loss, to a land for the lost. Now we're here. Now we're here. Traded natural death for some barrels and nets, and fished the sea west. Destiny manifest. Long live the quest. Long live the quest. This land is your land. This land is my land. From the northern highlands to the western islands. From the eastern seaboard to the growing bonsai tree. This land was made for you and me. No reason to breed. As long as you believe, repeat the creed, worship the bonsai seed, we have been freed from our mortality. We have persevered to persevere, and now we're here. We've tried and tried and tried, now we've arrived.
John, another music-inspired poem, isn't it wonderful? This land is your land. You know, so many people have covered that song, it's unbelievable. It's way up there in probably the top 10 most covered songs of all time. And yet people still ignore the message, you know, which is just ridiculous, because it's, you know, it's the only reason we're here is to share things. Anyway, I won't get into a rant because Philip is next. Philip is last.
Yeah.
I don't mean it that way, I mean it's a good thing. I'm just going to shut up.
Not least.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's my first time being last. Usually, Kieran kind of sneaks
Yay.
In last.
Did you notice that?
We all did. Anyway.
Good day, finish that.
Didn't hear that. Anyway, this is you may be worried about the poem I now chose. This is a stylistic poem. There's actually a shape to it as well as being read out. It's called Embryo, but I accidentally did the Portuguese Embryo, but that came out very well. It's about someone in troubled sleep and is in conflict about what's going on. And I think we all have those sleeps sometimes. Embryo. Absence. Suspended. Still. Refrigerated. Unchanged. Asleep. Waiting, but denied an end. Inside, here lies. Feel false, touched, be deceived, looped, be relooped, like a seed biting its own stem. And when does the sleep end? Between you, between me, only you, and only me. We curl up like an embryo, mirrored but separated. Thank you.
Cool.
Sure, I know it's the first book we've done MC and we finished before the actual 10 to, so I'll just read one of mine. That was really smooth, wasn't it? Like if we were gone beyond the time, I wouldn't have read bullshit like this. Anyway, this is written in the same usual way that I write, except there was a subtle difference in it. This time when I looked at the song titles of this band, there was a title that really appealed to me, and I thought that would be the title of the poem. So the poem was written with that title in mind until the very end, when I realised that the title of the poem was better than the last line of the poem. And because I don't like poems that have the titles in them, like What's Wrong With Me, I changed the title. So it's called Nocturnal Me. All I want is a ticket to ride another train in my head, where all my colours are buried alive in some kind of nothingness. And freaks dwell on high wires that burn for me, and the disease of everlasting and never endless, senseless, foggy notions that scratch at the past until history chimes, never stop the cutter. A happy death is just a touch away. Close your eyes, be proud to fall. Everybody knows it's all right to be gone, gone, gone. An eternity turns. Another train in my head fuels pictures on my wall of rusted new horizons, scissors in flaming red sand, a promise to the blue, blue ocean, and explosions in the flickering wall enlighten me to a life sliding into the margins of damnation. Still, I want to be there, with the disease of everlasting, never endless, senseless, foggy notions that scratch at the past, where all my colours are buried alive in some kind of nothingness, where death and a fiery flame damnation is just a touch for rusted scissors away. Is this a breakdown? And so on that happy Christmassy note, we're going to say that is the end of the 602nd edition of Dior Vale. I want to thank the barman, whose name I don't know because I've never met him before, for being, what's his name?
Mark.
Mark, thank you very much for looking after us. And thank all of you for being here and contributing tonight. You will make a huge difference. Give yourselves a round of applause. I'd like to thank myself for being the MC. And I'd like you to give one more massive round of applause for our guest poet, Faye Dolan.